In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, as you know, we had quite a lengthy gospel lesson this morning. It's one of the passions, and it's kind of a little preview of coming attractions for next week, that each week with Holy Week, we read one of the passions. So you will hear this one again, but it's the fact that those who composed the prayer book with Cranmer, that with the lectionary, they wanted to make sure that we were prepared for Holy Week. And Jesus did that. I'm going to mention some things that he did, that he basically on four occasions told his disciples, look, here's what's going to happen. This was on the journey narrative when he was on his final trip to Jerusalem. So look, here's what's going to happen. And he told them three times, and then he told them again at the Last Supper. And did they believe him? Well, maybe, maybe not. They say that basically their eyes were opened when he broke the bread, when they ate together after his resurrection. So this is a preparation for us. And preparation, that's what we've been doing in this penitential season of Lent. We've been preparing our hearts and our souls for the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and as well for his second coming. So we just have heard the Passion of Christ and understand the brutal nature of the attacks on Jesus. You know, we really do. We draw our conclusion from all of the brutality and from the crucifixion with the visual that we create. We visualize the negative aspects because we hear a lot of that in the Passion Gospels and from what we know from growing up as a Christian. So we visualize these negative aspects and the implications, which are actually just natural human emotions. We hold to what Jesus tells his chosen 12 in three accounts from the journey narrative that I mentioned to you just a few minutes ago, and for a final time at the Last Supper as the truth of the Passion. And we take it that here's what's going to happen, and sometimes we don't dig deep. We don't go into the meaning on what Jesus is actually doing, what he's actually creating for us. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen to him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priest and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. Him they shall mock, and him shall they scourge, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. However, we're going to consider the Passion of Christ in a different light this morning in order to get to the heart of God's love for us through his Son, because we have to get beyond this visual image to the Word of God. We get to the Word of God, which is going to open for us the life-giving work of Christ on the hard wood of the cross. So what we have to realize is that there is something more going on here than just a suffering man. And I'm not going to go into the history of the Roman troops, because they were just masters of torture. And there were other crucifixions as well besides Jesus. So there was a lot of suffering at the hand of the Romans. But with Jesus, there's just something a little bit more going on than just a suffering man. So in order to get beyond the visual image to the Word of God, we're going to consider the darkness that it talked about in the gospel lesson and two of the seven words of Christ from the cross. So by this, we will understand that the wrath of God, as it transforms into holiness, it becomes our hope and our promise. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. What is it that caused this darkness over all the land? Well, it's a supernatural darkness. Supernatural, something that transcends the normal laws of nature. That's God. God creates these supernatural happenings. So this supernatural darkness, it was caused by God, and there cannot be any natural explanation. But we sure do hear those accounts. We say, well, here's what happened. There was an eclipse. Well, there's proof that actually the sun was on the other side of the earth. I mean, the moon was on the other side there, so there's no way that there could be an eclipse. So it's just they keep on and on trying to discredit the work of Christ for us who believe. So was God throwing a veil over the sufferings of Christ? Was this an act of sympathy to cover the horror of his dying? What was God really saying with the darkness? Well, here's the answer. In Scripture, darkness is a symbol of judgment. It's a symbol of the judgment of God. Isaiah and Joel and Zephaniah, they all prophesied about the judgment of darkness. Jesus even taught and preached about the judgment of darkness. Now God is saying by this darkness over all of the land that the cross is the place of the judgment for all mankind for all time. This is not a judgment to come in the future. This is a judgment of the very moment that God's Son hung on the cross. God is casting a judgment on sin. God is judging sin, but yet the one receiving the judgment is sinless. The Lamb without blemish and without spot. The Holy One, harmless and undefiled. The supernatural darkness shows that God was judging sin, and as a result, His Son became the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. At about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, with great strength, Jesus cries out where the real agony exists. The real agony doesn't come from the physical pain. The real agony comes from his separation from his Father. This is that supernatural separation. In other words, Christ did not cease to be God. There are some commentators that said, oh, at that moment, Jesus ceased to be both divine and human. It was just his human nature. But no, Jesus has always been fully divine and fully human. So it didn't cease at that point. He did not cease to be God. But what happened was he lost the intimacy of that relationship with his Father, which he had known for all eternity. What does Christ cry of, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What does it tell us about the cross? Well, if darkness demonstrates wrath, then God's separation from his Son, it demonstrates holiness. Now, God can't look on sin. So at that point, when the Son took all of the sin of the world upon him, the Father had to turn from him. He could not look upon this sin. So the word holy means to separate. God had to abandon Jesus at that very point of pouring out his wrath on his Son because God is holy. He can't look upon sin. Jesus had become the sin offering for the whole world for all time. There was also, at this point, there was a gulf that was placed between the Father and the Son, which is reminiscent of the gulf that existed between Lazarus and Dives, the rich man. So here's the key to this cry of Jesus. The separation of the Father and the Son is the proof, it's the exact proof that Jesus did indeed become sin for us. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and in St. Luke's account it says, Father, I commend my spirit into thy hands. And he gave up the ghost. It is finished. The Father returned to his Son at the point of this cry. The wrath was over. The fixed gulf was removed. the intimacy was restored, and the Son commits himself to his Father, having accomplished redemption for us. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. That's very significant that God is now coming down to us. We don't have to just look at a tabernacle and the high priest goes into that tabernacle. And of course they had bells on so you could hear them in there. And they had a rope in case they fell out, they could pull him back out because nobody was supposed to go in the Holy of Holies. But now we have access to that Holy of Holies, to God our Father and His Son Jesus Christ, who is God. So we have access. So the curtain was ripped from the top to bottom. God coming down to be with us. So we have this access to the throne of God through His Son, our Savior. This is the victory of the Son on the cross. So what we see at the cross of Christ is the greatest act of divine wrath. It's the greatest expression of divine holiness, and it's the greatest act of divine love. We have gone beyond this visual image that we create to the Word of God, which has opened to us the life-giving work of Christ on the hard wood of the cross, where He cries out to us, "Come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you." Now, that's the first comfortable word, but the next couple of verses under that are just very rich for us. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is our hope. This is our promise. This is our salvation that we await. Amen. And now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed all might, majesty, power, and dominion, most justly do this day, both now and forever, world without end. Amen.